My guest Jeremy Corbell, a filmmaker who's been telling us about his project Patient 17. In the segment coming up, we're going to talk a bit more about Nano Man, who's working on some interesting propulsion ideas, but who also had a whack at some of this odd material and has some theories about it. That, and then at the bottom of the hour, we'll open up the phone lines with your questions for my guests. A lot more to come here in this last hour of Coast to Coast AM. Jeremy, let's reset the stage regarding Nano Man. Somebody you know and trust tells you, hey, you should go see this guy and find out what he's up to.
Yeah.
Did you have expectations that he would know about exotic topics, or were you primarily interested in the very advanced but earthly technology that he was pursuing?
It was the earthly technology. I mean, I know that he was willing to talk with me about more exotic things as a scientist, but really it was what he was doing with propulsion systems that was fascinating to me. That's why I went there, but I suspect I was led to him because of the other things.
Can you describe the propulsion stuff he's working on? I mean, advanced, but how advanced?
Well, I mean, it's pretty darn advanced. I mean, it's advanced enough that there is interest from the military. And so, it's a unique. He calls it a photonic propulsion system, or hyperspace propulsion system. These are just kind of words to best describe. But it's like one of these systems where it's generating some of its thrust from a physics that we don't quite understand, or we're not allowed to understand at this time. There's exotic nanomaterials that exist now, metamaterials that have never existed before in the history of humanity. I mean, I have some that you could hold in your hand, and it's like graphene. It's layered, almost atomically perfect layers, single layers of graphene, of graphite. And when you create exotic nanometamaterials, there are unique things that occur. Unique principles that occur within these materials that we've never seen the likes of before as human beings. They've never been created. So the material science is at a point now where we're able to see new effects. And this is what's so interesting about the work of someone like Nanoman, is he's really on the bleeding edge of technology, and he's willing to go there because he's been inspired.
You used the term utility fog in the last segment. What do you mean by that? And is that related? How does it relate to the technology, the propulsion technology, or does it?
No, it's a term from science fiction. Utility fog is the idea of billions and billions of micro-machines working together in unison towards a single goal operated by some larger machinery, right, some supercomputer. That was just a word we threw out there because there was a substance that later on in my experience with Nanoman that he said, look, I looked at this under a scanning electron microscope 9 years ago, 10 years now, and he's like, I'm not lying to you. As a nanotechnician who works with exotic materials, I could not make this. We could not make this. No white world or black world project, as far as I know, could make this material. And it's like a vial of water, and he hands it to me. And I'm like, okay, sure. Well, how can I look at it? He's like, I'll set you up at NASA. And I'm like, okay. And he did. And so I went there with the sole mission of just visually identifying, could I identify what he saw? Could I take pictures of the same strange stuff he took pictures of on the nanoscale? And you'll have to see my short film premiering at the 2015 UFO International Film Festival, because I'm going to be showing that short film there.
So this guy, Nanoman, who does projects for the military, is a cutting-edge guy, world-class nanotechnology guy. He finds something called utility fog that he says is too advanced for us to have made it. But
okay, well, that was a much later reveal. I went to go study what he was doing with propulsion, and it was fascinating. He calls it the space drive, and essentially he wants to create, at the very beginning, something to pull satellites back into orbit or something like that, basically to deliver payloads. And he's using a very interesting propulsion idea for it. And that's another film that I'm working on with him. And the utility fog thing came later. He kind of said to me, when we started talking more candidly about where he got some of his ideas and why he knew certain things in nanotechnology were possible when even his mentors didn't believe it, that's where he got a lot of funding, from military was for it because of his carbon nanotube work and stuff that he knew was possible. how did he know these things were possible? And he hands me this vial. And he goes, this is one of the reasons I knew it was possible. In this vial is this substance. We call it utility fog. It's a science fiction term because we have no idea what it is. But he says, this cannot be fabricated by any means that I know of now. And I analyzed this 9 years ago. Go ahead and take it.
And this stuff, you looked at it. You took it to NASA Ames, and you looked at it under this gigantic, powerful microscope?
Yeah, and I have imagery of it, and it was absolutely incredible because we were getting it wrong. I was even the technician was, we were hitting this thing with everything we got. We're looking at it, and it just didn't look like the photos that I got from Nanoman. And so we call him on the phone in the film, you'll see. And I'm like, man, we just don't see it. And he says, well, you just have to change your beam parameters. And, he gave us this whole description over the phone. It's like an art, you know, you have to be like Da Vinci to do this stuff. And he changes the beam parameters. And we penetrate through the outer shell of these little nanoparticulates that were in there to begin with, which was shocking. I mean, I was shocked that any of this was true. And sure enough, we see something unexpected. And you're just going to have to wait for the film, George.
All right. We've got a little audio clip from Nanoman in which he's sort of describing the kind of work that he does. It's audio file 14, Nathan.
Probably one of the few nanotechnologists who are pushing the envelope who know for a fact that the extraterrestrial technology is real, it's possible, and that's just an astounding amount of drive and motivation to keep pushing the edge.
Jeremy, I think when you hear him say something like that, you figure, I've got to ask this guy for some help with the segment, the piece out of the leg of patient 17. Right.
Yeah, clearly, you know, he is willing to put everything on the line, all his resources to get to the bottom of these questions. And that's hard to find. Most people don't give you the time of day. I mean, I've gone to UCLA by my house, like, you know, a dozen times trying to get people to talk with me. And it's just difficult. People don't have the gumption to get in front of a camera and talk about it. But, you know, Nanoman wants to know the truth. I admire him.
So he analyzed it. He took a look at the sample.
He looked at the results that I brought him, isotopic and elemental results, and he gave me some opinions based upon what he saw.
All right. We've got an audio file 15 where he talks about it. Let's hear that, Nathan.
Do you think, from what you've seen, these isotopes show us non-terrestriality?
Yes, I do.
Would you consider this scientific report of the isotopes a smoking gun?
Yes, I would. I don't believe any human made this sample.
I'm just trying to figure out my next step. I mean, I guess we're at a point where we can say big questions.
Yes, huge questions.
Jeremy, have you altered his voice in that?
No.
Oh, that's his voice?
Yeah.
And has he agreed to sort of help you follow this to wherever it leads?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. He's 100% committed. And again, he's willing. If we can find a prosaic explanation, great. Case closed. I'm just so lucky to have friends like this who are willing to help me go to, you know, the nth degree. I take things to extremes, man. And it's like, I want to know what's going on now. And this is just one of many cases.
He has one other clip I'm going to play, audio file 16, where he sort of gives his opinion about these results that you showed him.
This is the most significant pieces of actual hardcore data we have ever seen in the field of UFO and extraterrestrial, that is white world. This is the single most compelling piece of data that's ever been generated. So that's a mystery. But the implication of this is stretching my imagination.
He uses the term white world. I'm trying to guess, is the inference that he is familiar with the black world as well?
Correct.
Some of the work he does is classified?
Correct.
Is he a UFO guy? I mean, it sounds like he knows some of the terminology and... is he involved in that scene?
Not involved. I mean, he again, Invisible College, man. I mean, he's stayed out of it completely. but he is willing as a scientist to look at what, you know, I bring him. And he has, you know, looked into it, but definitely I believe, like I like to say, his imagination has been weaponized the more we've been working together, because my passion for it and his passion for it and our friendship has become so strong. I mean, we've driven out to places together and been on road trips. I mean, you know, the guy's like, he's in it with me, and I respect him deeply as a scientist and as a humanitarian and a person. He really believes that what he's doing has the potential to change the world for the better, and that this technology has been created by many civilizations, and those civilizations have visited here, so there's no reason why we should not be able to get closer. And that's what drives him. And I hope he succeeds. I'm there to document it if he does.
You said about the technology could change the world for the better. I mean, just elaborate on that. I mean, what are you talking about?
He's already done amazing things with carbon nanotubes for water filtration that have the potential to change the world. They use them, you know, for Delta Force right now. So, you know, there's a great possibility that the technologies just in water filtration using nanotechnology are going to better the world we live in, but particularly his propulsion system, if it pans out. And again, he is so great, man. We sat days up in his attic with him and his father, and they're going through these tests, and we're filming them. And the next morning he calls me, he goes, "Jeremy, I made a big mistake. You know, this was the flaw with my experiment." And like, he's willing to shoot down his own research that he's invested years in for the truth. So if he's onto something with this propulsion, which I believe he is, but if he is, then this could be bigger than the creation of fire.
I, you know, you allowed me, I'll just share this with the audience, that you allowed me to see some clips of things that you shot in a lab in a, I don't know if it's classified, it's certainly hidden, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Can you say any more about that?
Sure, yeah. I mean, at some point, I guess it'll come out in film. It's just a private laboratory, but it's way underground. And, you know, it's used to shield a lot of the things that are above ground. So I've been able to go into cool, deep, dark holes with scientists and film in cramped places, you know. Pretty amazing, though. Deep, deep underground, and a majority of it hand-dug. Pretty amazing.
He makes as I said, he made a reference to the white world. Yes. Do you think that, how extensive is his knowledge of the black world, the classified world? Is there nanotechnology that would exist in that world that he would not know about?
Well, there's always technologies that exist that we don't know about. You know, one of the biggest embargoes is that on the basic fundamental physics of the universe. And you can ask your good friend Bob Lazar about that. We are not being told, the biggest thing here is that we're not being told how our universe actually operates. That is the embargo, is on the physics. Now, everything else stems from that, all creations. I'll have to say, Nanoman's reference to white world, yes, absolutely, you know, he has been exposed to certain things, so have I. I probably shouldn't have been, but I was. There is a clear distinction between what is allowed to be known and what is not. And the people that sometimes come forward as an investigator myself, who, you know, always holds the secrets, people have told me things that they want me to know, not for me to repeat.
You mentioned Nanoman and compare him to the Invisible College. Is he part of it? I mean, does he collaborate on these topics with other scientists, or is he pretty much working on his own?
Yeah, I mean, he does, from time to time, bring me in. He has brought me into a number of different scientists, and some are more willing and some are less willing, but everybody, he has collaborated with it, and he'll bring me in, and we'll go into, like, there was a scanning electron microscope in a man's house, and it was incredible. We had unlimited time, and we were able to look at some really interesting materials in a man's house. I mean, who else has a scanning electron microscope in their house? It was amazing. So yes, he collaborates with other people. He's part of the Invisible College, but again, it's a loose term. I'm not saying there's one college of people. I don't even think that Jacques Vallée meant that. He just meant that there are people who are willing to do this, to put it on the line, to use their equipment, their time, their energy, their resources, you know, without giving away their names, they're willing to do it. And I'm looking for more people that will help me analyze and get into these, a deeper understanding of these things.
We have about 3 or 4 minutes before the break, and then we'll open up the phone lines. Let's take it back to where this started for you, and that's John Lear. Has Nanoman shared with you his opinion on some of Lear's theories? Or maybe a broader way to ask it is, now that you've got to know Lear a little bit and have a better understanding of the Lazar story, that sort of is what captured you to begin with, what have you learned about that may have changed your mind?
Okay, well, first of all, I want to say happy birthday. I think it's Bob Lazar's birthday today. So
that's true.
I think that's
pretty
cool. Yeah. I'm very excited. You know, Bob's story and what he told is what really initiated this whole curiosity for me. And I can say that, all these people, they're individually have their own ideas about things, but I have certain things that have been confirmed to me both by an individual scientist who is a subcontractor for the government, who has worked in places where he would have had access to this information. I mean, I had to guess. He didn't tell me, right? Got kind of pissed when I figured it out. But there are multiple S4s. They exist. At White Sands between 1989 and 1990, people were aware of Lazar's story, and they thought he was being truthful. The exact quote was, many of us knew what was being done out there, and we had no reason to disbelieve Lazar's story. The consensus was he was telling the truth. And additionally, from the military side, trusted individuals who were in a position to know have no reason to misguide me, and actually have put me in contact and guided me in really amazing ways, because they believe, without breaking oaths, they believe this information should be put in the public hands. There will be nothing bad, and this is a quote, nothing bad that would occur sociologically, psychologically, technologically, if this information was given to the public about the existence of extraterrestrials. You know, this last part I'm adding, this is what it was about, the existence of ETs contacting humanity. But again, another confirmation, Site 4, at Papoose, just as Lazar described it, and there's no agenda behind it. And also that we are currently and actively studying the phenomenon today within the United States military, and we have task forces for it. So all of this collection of information just generally leads me to one point, and that is that there's a cover-up that is going on, and that it's true, that 90% of it is true. We just got to figure the rest out.
You know, we folks in this line of work have been looking for it for a long time. I can remember talking to a congressional investigator who took it seriously and was hot on the trail trying to figure out if there is an active cover-up, where is it? A lot of people have looked for it and can't find it. You use the term government. I'm putting it in air quotes, but I mean, government's big. I suppose things can be hidden in government, but maybe they could be government-related and not be within government. Do you have an idea about the structure of this stuff or where it is?
Let's go to the real, famous quote that you actually like to talk about by Ben Rich, is that, we have the technologies to travel amongst the stars, and essentially they're so locked up in black budgets that it would take an act of God, to release it to humanity. I mean, look, people like that in positions of power that, are ahead of Lockheed Skunk Works, saying that, I think that was to Jan Harzan or someone else, but essentially that kind of statement really tells a lot. And from my personal experience in talking to people who are in the position to know, I'd have to say that there is a sense that this is important, and they're not going to be the ones to break oath, and they're not going to be the ones to go publicly leaking this information out. That's not going to help anybody. But that ultimately they want this information out as well. And those are the people I'm interested in talking to.
All right. We're going to open up the phone lines with your questions for my guest, Jeremy Corbell, in a moment. We're talking with Jeremy Corbell, filmmaker, about Patient 17 and Nanoman and John Lear and other topics. And in a moment, we'll take your phone calls right after this on Coast to Coast AM. Our final segment with Jeremy Corbell, we go to the phones east of the Rockies, Tim in Georgia. Good morning, Tim. You're on with Jeremy.
Hey, good morning, George.
Howdy.
Calling you from Georgia, the Coast to Coast Radio Club. We love you over here.
Awesome.
My question for Jeremy is, you said that it has made him question his all his religious views on all of Christianity in these aliens. Well, I had a theory that maybe these are fallen angels and demons fooling mankind with the alien concept. I just wondered to know what your thoughts on that were.
Thanks, Tim. You know, I've heard that before, and, you know, I don't think we have enough information to say one way or another. Jeremy, as your guy, is Patient 17, was he just sort of sharing, as Tim asks, was he just sort of sharing his doubts that are raised about this? I mean, or is he a man of faith still?
Yeah, it was just a very, like, honest moment. You know, we were in the laboratory, and I said, you know, would this shake the foundations of your faith? And it was a very honest moment. He just said maybe. And I don't know if he knows the answer to that. I mean, he's already experienced what, you know, the abductive experiences. So what does it matter if this is, you know, a chip or not a chip? But I think that's something that every person needs to come to on their own, is would that shake your faith in any way? You know, is an extraterrestrial presence visiting humanity exclusive of God as you know them? I mean, that's huge questions. I mean, you have to get some priests on here. I mean, I don't know.
Yeah, I don't think they're mutually exclusive.
Yeah.
You know, the implication of Tim's question goes a little bit further, and I'm just wondering, do we don't know for sure that these are extraterrestrials? You know, Nanoman mentioned it seems like it's extraterrestrial technology. It certainly is alien, right?
Right, absolutely. In that use of the word, I actually personally, I mean, my personal understanding at this time is that what we're dealing with is much stranger than just visitors from another planet. I mean, what is going on and the way it's manifesting itself? And this goes back to your question about what the military knows. I mean, there is some serious head scratching going on with some top bigwigs. I mean, it's like whatever's going on is so much stranger, so much, it's just so different than what it is.
Well, it's foreign, it's alien. Whether it's extraterrestrial, that might be another question. But good point, Tim. Thanks for the call. First-time caller Randy in West Virginia. Welcome to the program, Randy. You're on with Jeremy Corbell.
Thank you for letting me talk to you there. I got a pretty good question. The technology, the nanotechnology, would it have anything to do with curing diseases such as cancer and sugar diabetes and stuff like that?
Yes, absolutely. It's a very interesting field of research right now that is very prolific, and it's the use of the new metamaterials and nanotechnology itself to target different parts of your biology to deliver medicines, and it's something you can easily look into if you just type it in to Google and look up nanotechnology and progress in medicine. It's incredible. The world we're going to be living in the next 10 years is going to be vastly different because of the material science innovations that have occurred, the metamaterials.
I hope that's encouraging, Randy. Thanks for the call.
Thank you much.
All right. Wildcard line, Sandy in Riverside, California. Good morning, Sandy. You're on with Jeremy.
Oh, hi, y'all. just on side, yeah, that would make my faith, in fact, it does make my faith a lot stronger, because if it's not of God, and I know who God is, I don't know what they are. And like the guy said, they seem malevolent. But anyway, Dr. Lear in the past said the extractions were changing the DNA. And he told that to L.A. Marzulli, and said that the patients said they had a sense of independence. I was wondering if these extractions, were they emitting something that changed the personality of the person, or what exactly were they doing, you know? Thank you very much, and God bless your show. Bye-bye.
Okay, Sandy.
Yeah, thank you, Sandy, so much for the call.
Any input on that?
Yeah, definitely. Look, if Dr. Lear did claim that these implants were changing the DNA of the host, then that is something I do not see support for. I would need to see actual change in DNA. I have not investigated that. That's not something that I think I have not heard that, and I don't know, you know, even how to start looking into that, and that's not something that I think is, let's ask question one before we ask question two, but that's
right.
Not something I know about. Yeah.
There are competing theories for Dr. Lear's research about what the proper explanation is, right?
Oh, yeah, some of the theories is totally bunk, and he's wasted his time and just a self-propagandist that was just trying to do something that other people weren't. And then there's people that are just absolute followers and believers. And I think, you know, Roger was really a guy just trying to get to the truth. I mean, we all have human flaws, but I could see in his eyes, and when he asked me to follow this to the end, that he wanted to know the truth about this one and in general. You know, I think... you know, for me, I think he was a seeker, you know?
Yeah, regardless of where it led.
Yes.
It is sad that he is not going to be around to see at least, if not the ultimate answer, at least the answer to this particular case.
I have no, maybe he's got all the answers now, George. I have no idea.
And you're okay. If there's a prosaic explanation for that object taken out of patient 17's leg, you're okay with it.
What does it matter to me? I have a new friend, patient 17. This has been a wild journey. I've learned so much about science. I've met some great people. And either way, it's a great ending to my movie. I just don't know what that ending is yet or if we'll even ever find out, you know. But I'd like to encourage anybody to come forward, you know. I'll provide a secure opportunity for them to share their story with me.
I have a couple of emails from people who have suggestions on some additional tests that can be done or places you can take it, and I'll forward them to you. Next, we go to, on the wildcard line, Ross. In Concord, California. Hi, Ross.
Hello. Before I ask my question, I'd like to answer the first caller's question. Angels and demons are some of the many alien species that have come into contact with Earth. And my question is, when you mentioned nanotechnology, you said that there is some knowledge that we humans must not know. It's not for us to know. And there's a passage in the Bible that alludes to it, and I'm completely against this. And there was something else you mentioned. The government does not want us to know the creation, how the secrets of the universe, what are they, and why would the government not want us to know them?
What? I don't remember that being mentioned. Jeremy, did you say that?
No. I think that's a little bit out of context, but I just also want to kind of backtrack a little bit. When I say the government, like, I'm a patriot. I, you know, enjoy living in America. That's why I live here. Essentially, there is no the government hiding anything. There's a lot of head scratching going on. There's private individuals, private groups, private funding, a lot of the black projects. People, if you don't have a need to know, you don't know about it. Well, you know, it's our government. It's not the government. You know, it is our government. And so, essentially, the idea of the people on the inside that want this out is that essentially we have a right to know. And that's what I've been told. We have a right to know.
So things that humans must not know, that's not part of your equation?
No, not at all. We're
okay.
We're big boys, you know?
All right.
I mean, come on.
Thanks, Ross. Richard in Salem, New Jersey on the wild card line. Good morning, Richard. You're on with Jeremy. Hello? Richard in Salem, New Jersey, are you there? All right, we're going to move on. We're going to go to Matt in Virginia on the wild card line. Hi, Matt. You're on with Jeremy Corbell.
Hey, Jeremy. How you doing this evening?
Hey, good, Matt. How you doing?
Yeah, I just had a quick question. One of the other callers that mentioned the aliens in this episode having been connected with demonic and or fallen angels, entities, you know, beyond our scope of existence. And I would just have to say that that's a valid point in that any technology that is sufficiently advanced as to us to be something that we couldn't even possibly understand how it operates, that would appear to be magic. So
that's the famous quote, yeah.
My question for you is, you know, along with the rare element counts beyond, you know, the terrestrial norm for our area that was formed by the supernovae, do you believe that they may serve purposes other than simply collecting biometric data, such as, you know, altering someone's EMF emissions? their energy field, so to speak.
Yeah, I personally don't have a theory on it because I don't know enough. I don't believe these are implants. I don't know that yet. You know, I'm just simply looking at it, trying to interrogate the data to understand them the best that I can. There may be a prosaic explanation for the isotopic abundances. You know, I called the lab and I asked them and I said, you know, can you tell me why it's so off for zinc 64? And, you know, it was like at first they stood by their results and then it was like, oh, well, you know, there maybe it's contamination. You know, we have to do more tests. And, you know, it's just a mystery. And right now I have no theory on what else these things, if they are implants, could be doing. But I'm not even there yet. I'm not even there that they are. I know that patient 17 had real experiences. I don't know what this thing is in his leg. I need to do more tests.
Thanks for the call. Does patient 17 have an idea about what the agenda is? Why somebody stuck something in his leg? Why he's had these repeated unpleasant encounters?
No, I don't think so, and we'll have to ask him. But I mean, the bottom line is he's not convinced someone stuck something in his leg yet. We're not there yet. But his experiences, you know, that you can ask him about, and that we should ask him about is, you know, does he have an idea? And you know, I guess he's kind of alluded a couple times that the idea is that they're testing us, you know, like we would, you know, chip an animal.
On our international line, Verdi in Canada. Hi, you're on with Jeremy. Hello?
Hi, you hear me?
Hi, you're on the program. What's on your mind?
Excellent. I just want to ask our guest, basically, does he believe in God? And if he does, if there is ET life out there, basically, what would a person that believes in God, and now that they're finding out that there is ET life out there, like what kind of position would that put that person into?
Yes, I
Go ahead. I was going to take a stab at it in that we've talked about this on the program a lot of times. And I'll let Jeremy give his take on it. But, you know, I've interviewed people of every faith, priests and ministers and rabbis, LDS folks, and the answer from all of them was the same, is that they don't have a problem with it. It doesn't shake the fundamentals of their beliefs. All of them say the same thing. Their belief in God is the same, and if anything, life elsewhere is consistent with their beliefs, and it's sort of a testament to a greater glory of whatever being they believe is calling the shots. Jeremy?
Couldn't have said it better myself.
Yeah, I don't think there's any fundamental disagreement. We had two guys, the astronomers from the Vatican last month who were on the program, who basically said the same thing. First-time caller, Tim in New York. Hi, Tim. Welcome to the program. Tim, hello. I am calling Tim one more time. Are you there? Hello? All right, we're going to give up on Tim. I think the quote that one of our callers was referencing is the technology being indistinguishable from magic was from Arthur C. Clarke. Is Nanoman giving you some hints about other things to come, other exciting stuff?
Just, you know, with his own work, you mean?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. We're deep in it. We're years in this. I mean, there are a number of films in the technique. He's on the bleeding edge. What he's doing is the most fascinating stuff I've ever been privileged to document.
And the people who have allowed you to meet him, who have sort of quietly, behind the scenes, guided you along this path and led you to some really interesting places, have they indicated how much help they're going to give or how far they'll go?
Mm-mm. No, I think just, you know, the introduction was pretty big, and, you know, hopefully there's more help to go from there. But, you know, just look, these are just friends that know I'm interested in this stuff and say, hey, you should meet this guy. This guy is somebody who's doing some cool stuff. It's really as simple as that.
I mentioned at the beginning that you have so many other projects going on. You're juggling a whole bunch of other things. Anything else you can tell us now about?
Yeah, absolutely. This is kind of the big one. First of all, I just want to take the opportunity to say that, like, film is my life right now. It is my path. And so I'd just like to ask any of your listeners tonight, if you have a story to tell, reach out to me, and I will investigate all promising claims, and I will provide secure opportunities for those of you who want to come forward with your story, either privately or on the record. And specifically, I'm interested in investigating topics related to the UFO problem and the government relationship to the phenomenon. Anything deemed extraordinary, feel free to contact me. And the way to do that, and this is kind of the announcement I have for you tonight, I have compiled all of my current film work together at one place, so you can go see it as it starts to come alive. And that is at extraordinarybeliefs.com, extraordinarybeliefs.com. And if you go there, you will see all the projects that I'm currently working on, and you'll see them come to life, you know, with a teaser here, a trailer there, a full piece, you know, once in a while. So that's where to go. That's how to contact me, and I look forward to learning more.
You've told me in confidence about talking to the folks at Vice, and we should say that Vice is, you know, an up-and-coming organization, a broadcasting organization.
They're great, man. I wish, you know, I want to work with them. I released three videos through them, and I just think they're amazing, and it just hasn't clicked yet in any kind of formal manner. But, man, I would love to. You know, this stuff that I'm doing is cutting-edge stuff, and hopefully I can get it out to, you know, the masses.
Well, we see some of their stuff on HBO. Do they have some kind of a deal that I don't understand the relationship there?
I'm not sure. I mean, I'm sure it's all public record, but yeah, they do have great stuff on HBO, but they don't have anything that touches on this topic the way that I think they should for a cutting-edge organization. And I would like to provide them the public opportunity to take me up on it, and let's get this moving, because this is some exciting stuff. Science, technology, unknown phenomena, nanotechnology, metamaterials, UFOs, government witnesses coming out. I mean, I just talked with Paul Hellyer, Defense Minister of Canada, former Defense Minister of Canada, the other day. I mean, this is stuff people want to know about. The one thing I learned in jiu-jitsu is everywhere I went in the world, people would all talk about one thing. They'd talk about lights in the sky and UFOs. And even in the Shamrock Social Club, sitting with Mark Mahoney and, you know, the kind of the priest of the tattoo world in Los Angeles, when people sit in his chair, and I've been privileged to film some of that, every single person has a story about UFOs.
One last question. John Lear, how's he doing?
You're going to have to ask John, but he's doing good. I mean, his spirits are up, and we communicate regularly, and, you know, he's a hell of a guy.
All right. Jeremy Corbell, look forward to seeing you in Arizona at the UFO Congress. Thanks very much.
Thank you, George. It was an honor. Thank you.
All right. Thanks also to my earlier guest, John Byrne Cook, and his book about Janis Joplin, and to my colleagues there at Coast to Coast, Tricia Pepe, Nathan Staten, Dan Galani, our webmaster Lex Lonehood, and producer Chris Boros. I'm George Knapp. Good night, everyone.